And what had happened, a Scottish, minister, maybe a missionary at that time, well, the term missionary wasn't commonly used, had gone to India to try to convert people to Jesus. And they'd spent a lot of time in northern India, and they had received very little acceptance for their messages. Very few people were turning up. And they finally went ahead and had a convert to Christianity. And this individual was in the village that they were in India, and the gentleman, his wife, and his children all went ahead and accepted Jesus Christ. And shortly after their accepting of Jesus Christ, the village chieftain went ahead and ordered them executed. And the village chieftain wanted this convert to go ahead and deny Christ. And he said, if you simply deny Christ, your life will be saved. And he started off with this individual's children, and he went ahead and took this individual's boys and went ahead and had them executed. And he said, if you deny Christ, your life and your wife's life will be spared. And the individual goes ahead and says, no, I've decided to follow Jesus, and there's no turning back. And so they went ahead and then executed his wife. And they went ahead and said, listen, if you go ahead and deny Christ, you will go ahead and your life will be saved. And he's like, no. He's like, turned in this direction, there's no going turning back. And they went ahead and they executed him. Well, it so impacted the chieftain of that tribe that this individual would have a religion or a belief that they would go ahead and not only sacrifice the lives of their children and their wife, but their own life for, that he went ahead and he went to the missionary and said, what is this Jesus that you're talking about? And that chief went ahead and became a believer, and that entire tribe converted to Christianity. And that was the first major movement of Christianity in India. And the words of that chief, or the words of that individual, while we don't know his name, go down in history as every time we go ahead and sing that song. So to me, it went ahead and really aligned with today's sermon, right? As we talk about becoming disciples of Christ and turning away from what the world has to offer and blindly following Jesus, that there's no turning back, right? Like, no matter what we face, we can't turn back from that. Our scripture this morning is going to be based out of Luke 9, 23 through 26. And in Luke 9, 23, we learn that discipleship always begins with an invitation. In Luke 9, 23, in the NIV, which is what you have in your pews there with you, it says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I personally like the New King James Version of this better, where he said, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So if you have a desire to go ahead and follow Jesus, it requires daily focus. Jesus opens the call to anyone that wants to follow him. Anyone can become Jesus' disciple. But he defines the terms of discipleship. Jesus simply says, if any man. Now, this was written in the Old Testament period, or actually it was New Testament period, where it could be used today for any man, any woman, any individual, right? And this is an open invitation that we all get to experience. No one is too ordinary. No one is too broken. No one is too far gone. And no one can be excluded because of their past from being a disciple of Jesus. We went ahead in adult Sunday school. We've been learning about Saul, who now becomes Paul. And we go ahead and see what he did to the early church. And God went ahead and still chose to use him. And most of the New Testament was written by this individual that early Christian church members would have said, this guy is too far gone. He's a murderer. He goes ahead and persecutes people. Yet we can go ahead and look at most of the letters in the New Testament to his calling. And Jesus doesn't lower the call to go ahead and meet you where you're at, right? Now, Jesus will meet you where you're at for salvation, but to become his disciple requires you to go ahead and surrender to him daily. Jesus doesn't go ahead and hide the cost of discipleship. It was very clear in Luke 9:23 where he says they must deny themselves and take up their cross. A cross was the most cruel form of punishment at that time. That's what they went ahead and that was their capital punishment at that time. That was death. And Jesus doesn't admire people or invite people to admire him from a distance. Right? Church isn't here just to attend, right? Church is here to participate, to join in fellowship, to go ahead and learn, to be a disciple of Jesus, to go ahead and be witnesses in our community. And Jesus invites people to go ahead and come after him, to follow him. Many people in today's church want the benefits of being a Christian. They want the benefits of being associated with Jesus without obeying the call of Jesus. They want the peace that comes from salvation. They want the forgiveness. They want heaven. They want a comfortable life. And this was another thing that we were talking about in adult Sunday school this morning. I think, Joe, you had brought it up. You said when you were 12 years old, you went ahead and became a Christian. But there was and you felt an impact in your life at that time, but there was a gap of many years before you started truly following Christ, right? Before you became a disciple of his. And when you started following that, that's when the true joy, the true happiness, the true fulfillment came into your life. And one of the things that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, have we personally responded to the call of Jesus to be his disciples? Are we following him, or are we simply around church activities? Have we mistaken our participation at this church for discipleship? Because Jesus tells us what the first requirement of following him is. The first requirement of discipleship is to deny ourselves. And we've seen that in Luke 9:23. Let him deny himself. Remember last week we went ahead and talked about the authority of Jesus, right? And Jesus has authority over all earth and all heaven. So we have to give up our desire for self-rule. And this is one of the things I think that church has kind of twisted over the years, right? We go ahead and we see this with some monasteries. We go ahead and see this with some other extreme religious activities where they go ahead and they come up with self-loathing, right? Because it says you must deny yourself. Like you have to put away anything that brings you joy or happiness because you're worthless. And it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It says, we clearly see that denying yourself does not mean hating yourself. It does not mean pretending that your life has no value. Remember, we're all created in the image of God. It does not mean that you'll never have desires, goals, or emotions. But it means you no longer sit on the throne of your own life. You are no longer in control of your destiny. And this issue of denying yourself is not a personality problem. The issue is surrendering authority for your life. it's going ahead and determining who gets the final say in our lives. Do you want it to be you, or do you want it to be Jesus? And some people want to hold bitterness in their lives for things that have happened to them in their past. But Jesus calls us to forgive. Some people want to stay silent. They don't want to rock the boat, but Jesus calls us to witness. Some people want to put themselves first, their lives, their family's lives, but Jesus calls us to obedience. Some people want to spend the entirety of their lives on themselves and focusing on self-pleasures and self-gratification. But Jesus calls us to seek his kingdom above everything else. Some people want an excuse to sin, but Jesus calls us to repentance. Remember, self-denial is not losing your value. It's surrendering the throne in your life. And a question I have for you this morning, and something that you have to answer for yourselves, is where do you still insist on having the final say in life? You may go ahead and you may have surrendered your finances. Maybe you surrendered your career. Maybe you surrendered your free time. But what is that piece of your life that God's asking you still to surrender? What is an area of your life that you're resisting in handing over to Jesus? Where has your personal preferences gone ahead and brought disobedience? Jesus did not only say to deny ourselves, he says daily we need to take up our cross. And it's easy for me to stand here and talk about surrender. It's easy to read the words of Jesus saying, let him deny himself, and explain as a pastor what these words mean. It becomes much more difficult when God begins putting his finger on something in your own life. And this morning, I want to share something with you that's still unfolding in my family and I's life. And we don't know the ending yet. And I can't stand here and give you a perfectly packaged story where every question has been answered and everything that makes sense, and everything makes sense. Because my wife, my kids, and I are still living this. You see, back in October of last year, Jessica and I had separate dreams about selling our house. And we didn't sit down and plan this together. We were actually on the way home from church one night, and we both kind of were talking about stuff, and we talked about this dream that we had. And we didn't spend weeks talking about moving and our desire to move, right? It's just something that came up when we were driving. And the message seemed incredibly clear to the both of us. Sell the house. And now, to go ahead and understand what this meant, you have to understand what the house meant to us, and specifically more to my wife. This was supposed to be our forever home. We had purchased it 4 years ago. We had invested a significant amount of money into making it the house that would work for our family. We had plans for it. We had security there. And if you were in our minds, this is where we were supposed to stay. It's where God had called us to be. We were around family, friends. It was a great area to raise the kids. But then God began dealing with both of us about walking away from it. And you know what we did? Just like every good Christian did, we ignored him. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I immediately said, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it. But I didn't. And we did what many Christians do when God says something we do not want to hear. We kept living our lives just like we were and hoped he would stop talking about it. We ignored God. And when I think about that now, I think about the example of Jonah that we had. God spoke clearly to Jonah, and God gave Jonah a direction. Go to Nineveh. Jonah did not misunderstand God. Like, he didn't say, you know, God, I really didn't understand what you're telling me. His problem wasn't lack of information. God made it very clear. Go to Nineveh. But Jonah simply did not want to do what God told him to do. And I wonder how many of us here this morning have done the same thing. Maybe God has clearly dealt with you about something in your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's bitterness about your past that you refuse to release. Maybe it's a habit that you know is sinful. Maybe it's a person in your life that you need to forgive. Maybe God has been calling you to serve. Maybe he's been telling you to speak to someone about Jesus. Maybe he's been telling you to open your Bible and actually begin reading his word. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you aren't confused, you're ignoring him. And there's a difference between not knowing what God wants in our lives and knowing what God wants and refusing to do it. And I'm here to tell you from personal experience that ignoring God has severe consequences. I'm not saying that you're going to walk out of this church this morning and the sky is going to cloud up and lightning is going to strike you. But what I'm saying is when you refuse to follow the plan that God has for your life, we miss what he's trying to do in us. We miss the opportunity for him to grow us. We miss the opportunity for him to mold us. And we cling to the security we created while God is calling us into something that requires absolute faith. And after ignoring God for a considerable amount of time, finally in February, Jessica and I made the decision to obey his calling. And that sounds simple when I say it quickly, but this was not simple. There was many days that Jesse spent in tears, going ahead and passing off on our beloved house. And we started going through hundreds of boxes that we had collected over our lives. And some of those boxes had not been opened since we had moved into the house 4 years earlier. We all have that garage, that basement, the attic that no one talks about. And we began sorting through years of possessions. Because this year, Jesse and I have been married for 21 years. And we had decided what mattered, what we needed, and what we were willing to part with. And eventually, we made the decision that probably sounds insane to most people. And that was we decided to sell almost everything that we had. Some personal effects, but much of what we had accumulated over the years, we went ahead and sold. And people thought we were crazy. We had people ask us, what are you doing? Why would you sell this? Why would you walk away from your house? What is your plan? All questions I had. And the truth is, sometimes when you're following God most closely, people around you will not understand what you're doing. And I want to be very careful here, because people thinking you're crazy does not automatically mean you're following God. Some people were crazy before they started following God. But when God has clearly spoken through his word, when you have prayed about it, when you have sought him, and when you know he is calling you to obedience, there comes a point when you have to decide whose voice has authority in your life. And that is what we talked about last week. Who has authority? If Jesus has all authority, then at some point his authority must affect our decisions. And after selling the house, Jessica and I decided we were moving to Florida. And this plan made perfect sense to me. We were going to have weekends on the beach. There was going to be mild winters, no state income tax, gorgeous sunsets, housing that was extremely affordable compared to what we were used to. How could it get any better than this fantastic plan? And we began searching. And we went ahead and we found a place. We signed a lease and we prepared to move. In my mind, I had it all figured out. God told us to sell the house. Check, we sold the house. Now we're moving to Florida. Look at me obeying God. Except God started talking again. Jessica's grandfather had a stroke, and a few days later, he passed away. The following weekend, her grandmother had a stroke. Because God goes ahead and knows it takes a lot to go ahead and convince me. And during all of this, I was had the opportunity to go ahead and preach here at this church. And you need to understand something about me. I've never had a desire in my life to be a preacher. I love serving in church. Give me technology to fix. Give me a soundboard to run. Give me a network problem. Go ahead and give me something behind the scenes to do. I don't like to be seen. I don't like to be heard. I like to be behind the scenes. And that's where I'm comfortable. I have never looked at any congregation and thought I would really like to lead a flock of people. I never thought I am exactly the person who should mentor others and tell them what the scriptures command. Most days I feel like I'm still trying to get my own life together. Who am I to stand in front of other people and talk about following Jesus when I was just ignoring him? But something happened while I was preaching here. I began to see a different direction that God had for my life. I realized that maybe I don't need to stand here and pretend I have everything figured out. Maybe I don't need to give you a perfectly polished version of Christianity. Maybe one of the things that God is asking me to do is simply share what he is doing in my life and in the life of my family. To share the scriptures that he's been laying heavily on my heart. To open the word of God with you and say, this is what Jesus said. This is how God is comforting me with it. Now each one of us has to decide what we're going to do with it. And here I am. I'm standing in a pulpit that I never planned to stand in. I'm preaching to a church that I never planned to preach at. Jessica and I sold a house we never planned to sell. We sold possessions we spent years accumulating. We signed a lease in Florida. Then as we prepared to leave, it seemed like God began placing reasons to stay directly in front of us. Do you see the problem in all this? I like plans. I like possessions, right? Nice to have a great car and a nice couch and a nice bed. And, you know, I'm starting to realize I really liked my dresser too. And I like knowing where things are going. I spend my professional life looking at other people's business problems. I develop strategies and I build a plan to get them from where they are to where they need to be. But following Jesus does not mean that Jesus hands us the strategy and says, Jeremy, approve this. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Denying yourself means denying your plans. It means denying your timeline, denying your security, his cross daily. Because discipleship is a daily surrender, not a simple moment of obedience. Selling our house was an act of obedience. Selling possessions was an act of obedience. And that does not mean that my process, that our process of following God is finished. Obedience yesterday doesn't remove the need to obey Jesus Christ today. And God may lead you through one door and continue directing you after you walk through it. And one of the biggest mistakes I made was believing because I obeyed God by selling the house that I had earned the right to determine what happened next in my life. And I'm not sure about you, but I often want God to give me a destination. I'm like Jonah, right? Well, actually, I'm the opposite of Jonah. If God told me to go to Nineveh, I'm like, yay, he told me to go to Nineveh. But God often asks us to follow him one step at a time with no direction. We're a lot like Abraham, where God told him to leave everything that he had behind, right, and just start off marching through the wilderness. He had no idea where he was going, but God had a plan for him. We want the full plan before we start doing anything in our lives. We want the timeline. We want to know on January 1st, I have to do this. On June 1st, I have to do this, right? We live our lives that way. We want an outcome. Hey, God, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm guaranteed A, correct? But Jesus simply says, follow me. So daily, we have to surrender items. I had to surrender our house. I had to surrender my possessions. Maybe God's not telling you to do that, right? I had to surrender my Florida plans. I was really looking forward to Florida. And now I have to surrender my own ideas about ministry. I love doing sound. I love doing technology, right? I never thought I'd be standing behind a pulpit preaching, but here I am. I have to surrender my personal desires. And what if the one thing that God wants from you this morning is not one dramatic act of obedience? What if he's asking you to wake up tomorrow and follow him again and again and again? Because remember, a disciple follows Jesus. In Luke 9:23, you're reminded, and follow me. I stand here this morning and I can't tell you guys how my story ends. It's a daily following of Christ. I'm still going through the qualification process of being a disciple. I'm still praying every day that God will give me the strength and the wisdom. Jessica and I are still making decisions based on where we believe that God is pointing us, but there are still so many unanswered questions in our lives. You don't need to know the final destination to follow Christ. Abraham was told to go. Peter was told to leave his livelihood. Matthew was called away from the tax booth. And the disciples did not receive a complete explanation of everything that was ahead. Do you think they would have left their livelihoods, their businesses, their families, all of that to follow a guy that was going to die in 3 years, right? But Jesus called them to follow and to follow him on their faith. Because faith is not me, it's not you understanding God's entire plan. Faith is trusting the one who is leading us. And this morning, are you refusing to follow because God hasn't explained everything to you? Are you waiting for certainty in your life before you go ahead and understand if Jesus is asking you for obedience? Has God already shown you the next step in your life and you're ignoring him? Are you asking God for more information because you don't like the information that he's already given you? Is he telling you to do something and you're like, I really don't want to do that. I'll do anything, but I'm not going to do that. Jonah knew what the next steps were in his life. His problem was not discernment, discerning what God wanted. He was clearly told to go to Nineveh. His problem was surrendering. You see, he didn't like the people of Nineveh. No one liked the people of Nineveh. And he ran because he didn't want God using him to go ahead and convince the people of Nineveh to turn away from their sins. And I can sit here and criticize Jonah, but I went ahead and I did exactly what Jonah did by taking months to go ahead and sell my house after God went ahead and specifically told us to do so. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I now know, understand Jonah more than I would like to admit. And maybe you do too. And I don't know exactly what God is doing in my life right now. A year ago, if we had this conversation, I would never have imagined standing here and having this conversation with you. 6 months ago, I was not planning to preach here. A few months ago, I thought I was moving to Florida. Today, I'm standing here talking to you about what it means to follow Jesus. And maybe that's what the entire point is. Following Jesus means I do not get to write the entire story before I agree to participate in his plan. Jesus says, follow me. And maybe today you're ignoring God. Maybe he's been dealing with you about something and you know deep down inside what it is. Maybe every day you're praying for clarity, but if you were truly honest with yourself, God has already shown you what the next steps are. Maybe the problem in your life is God hasn't been silent. Maybe the problem is you don't like what you heard. And I'm here to tell you, I know what that feels like. But I'm learning that there's a difference between asking Jesus to bless the life that I planned and actually surrendering myself to the life that he's leading me into. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The question this morning is not whether you understand everything that God is doing in your life, because I certainly don't. The question is so much simpler than that. Are you willing to follow him? What has God already told you to do, but you're still trying to ignore it? And I look at Franklin Hill. This is a fantastic church. I feel like a lot of you are doing the direction of God. But this church cannot make disciples if the church is not becoming disciples. If all of us are not becoming disciples, we can't make more disciples. The church cannot call the community to follow Jesus while internally we're resisting the plan he has for our lives. The campaign to go ahead and go into all the world and preach the gospel, like we're called to in Matthew 28:19, has to begin in the hearts of the people that are sitting in these pews. Outreach to the community without discipleship simply becomes another church activity. And discipleship without outreach becomes an inward religion. Back in week 1 and 2, we said, does Jesus have authority? And now we're asking, am I following him? And simply, the question you have to ask yourself this morning, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have I responded to the invitation that he has for my life? Have I denied myself? Am I taking up my cross daily? Am I following him by reading his word? Do I value my soul more than anything that the world can give me? Am I willing to be known as his disciple? We've seen that this morning in Sunday school, where when Saul converted, he went ahead and lost his friends that were Jews, the people that he grew up with. He lost his family, right? But then guess what? None of the Christians liked him either because they didn't trust him. So he went ahead and gave up everything to become a Christian. Am I willing to help anyone else follow him today? And before I close this morning, I want to speak directly to someone who may be sitting in these pews, or maybe someone that's listening through our website. Maybe you've listened to me talk about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and something inside of you, deep down, is saying, I would love to follow Jesus. I would love to be his disciple, but I don't know this Jesus whom you're talking about. Then I ask you this morning, what are you waiting for? Over the course of the last 6 weeks, I've preached more than enough gospel for you to make a decision in your life. I have told you who Jesus is. I have told you why he was necessary and through the Bible. I have told you that you are a sinner, and so am I. I have told you enough for Jesus to accept you. The gospel is not that you need to start attending this church every Sunday or a church every Sunday in hope that God will someday notice your efforts. The gospel is that Jesus Christ has already done what you cannot do for yourself. So what are you waiting for? How many sermons do you need to hear in your life? How many more times do you need someone to tell you that Jesus loves you? How many more opportunities do you need to be given before you finally stop standing at a distance, observing Jesus, and come to him? Joshua stood before the people of Israel and said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Today, I am asking you the same question. Who will you serve? Will you continue serving yourself? You can continue to try to control your own life. You can continue carrying your own sin and be bound like a prisoner. You can continue hoping that somehow being a good person will get you through. Or you can come to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 reminds us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that is a promise of the Word of God that you can go ahead and bank your eternity on. And if you don't know my Jesus this morning, I want you to know him. I cannot make the decision for you. My wife can't make the decision for you. Your parents can't make the decisions for you. Your grandparents can't make it for you. And this church definitely cannot make that decision for you. You must decide what you will do with Jesus Christ when you leave this church. And maybe you're thinking, Jeremy, you have no idea what I've done in my life. And you're right, I don't. But I know Jesus does. And I know what Jesus did. And I know that his blood covers the worst sins on the face of the earth. He went ahead and he covered everything. That his grace is greater than any sin that we could ever do. And his mercy is greater than any life that we have ever lived. And I'm here to tell you this morning, come to him. Confess that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Surrender your life to him and confess that he is Lord. Then follow him daily. Become his disciple. Maybe today is the first day you can truly answer the question we've been asking all morning. Am I following Jesus? Maybe today your answer becomes, yes, today I begin. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. if you would go ahead and